welcome to Margaritas with Margarita. If it's Friday, it's time for 15 minutes of financial advice to help women flex their financial muscles. So welcome to the show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. You are listening to us today with our guest, the amazing Bonnie Yam. She is a woman with a ton of credentials and a ton of fantastic advice. So I'm going to throw it over to Rita and Bonnie. Enjoy the show.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us. And thank you so much, Bonnie, for being here. We are so excited for you to share your wisdom with our listeners and viewers. So first, tell us about Pension Maxima.
Sure. Thank you very much. I love, you know, having this wonderful opportunity. So I feel a little bit more relaxed and we can just do some sharing. So we are helping people. And what we do is that we help plan sponsors. We call the three F's. The funds, the fees, and fiduciary. But from my perspective, a big part of it is also to help the employee education. And in the past, plan sponsor, the biggest number one thing that they worry about is cost. You know, help me lower the cost. The lower, the better. Okay, but now what I'm seeing is that, no, they're more concerned about employee education, helping them, meaningful financial wellness, and all that. So things have changed a little bit. And I talked to some HR people, and they said, I really like the way they say it. Happy employees make more productive employees. So it's also helped them with retraining, hiring, and all that. And it all pulls in together. If you're financially stressed, how well can you be performing in your job? Or you'd be thinking about other things, you know, my bills that haven't been paid, you know, all that stuff. So you want happy employees, more productive employees, and they're probably going to translate to a healthier bottom line for the company. So it's good for all. And a lot of companies are actually using this as a recruitment incentive. And from my perspective, I just think this is the right thing to do. Over the years, I met lots of people, different ranks, like CFOs, controller, people who just like rank and file employee. I have to tell you, it doesn't matter how much money you make. They all have different concerns, financial concerns. Big, small, little, just different, okay? So from all these years that I've learned, you know, I start like last couple of years, what I try to do is compile all my learning. And I start writing books, and I know people don't like to read. So the books that I create would be cartoons, you know, full of pictures, one page, one concept. So you feel like I'm happy doing it, not just like, okay, another homework assignment that I'd hand into somebody. So make it very simple, easy, and then even though you don't have a lot of background, you still can get something out. If not, you have a nice laugh. So that's what my goal. So I make it fun. So I write cartoons, make those fun books with lots of creative pictures, online videos. These are cartoon videos. And I also like create games. So I think people are competitive. They want to win, you know, they want to think that they know something. As a matter of fact, when I go to CFO, you know, they like numbers. When I ask them a question, all these other questions, you know, test it. And you got somebody interested, they're going to share. They're going to start asking the same question. Huh? Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? And they start bragging about it. Then, you know, that you create a culture and people want to learn. So that's what I really want to do. And I share with Margarita, what I'm trying to do is that one step further. I know, you know, nowadays, like a lot of learning is online. So like Coursera, Udemy, you know. So what I want to do is to create all the stuff that I have, you know, compiled over the past, bring them online. Whoever is interested, you don't even need to know me. And I'm not going to charge you a lot of money, you know, try to make it as low cost as possible. You come, enjoy yourself and learn. So that's my next step. So everything that I'm putting together, I'm going to bring it online. And then right now, I'm also teaching a class at Westchester Community College, a financial wellness class, a 10-week class on 10 topics, 10 very those essential topics, I thought. And, you know, every time I teach, I learn. And the same thing, I bring in all those knowledge and then try to put in another book. So anyway, because I think very important, like the sharing is very important. And then all that knowledge, you know, if you don't use it, it goes away. So I'm trying to, like, while it's still fresh in my mind, make it interesting, make it fun, and then give it back to the people. So that's my number one goal.
I love what you are doing to make financial education and financial wellness accessible for all. So with that in mind, what does financial wellness mean to you?
Okay, that's a very, very good question. On a very simple level, can I pay my bills? And then a lot of times people look at costs two ways. Essential expenses, that means like your housing, you know, your electricity bills that you absolutely have to pay. And then those that we call like what you need, okay? And then after that, what you want. What do you want? I want to travel, I want to go to friends, I want to buy this nice dress, or I want to go party somewhere. Those are excessive money that you can spend, you like to spend, but you don't have to spend. Oh, I can buy a nice gift for you, Margarita, and make you happy, and then you make me happy. You know what I mean? But a little splurge, you know. But then can you afford it? Okay, so there are two levels. One, you have to pay regardless what happened. And the other one is like, it'd be nice to have. And then I started reading around, I thought, wow, you know, there's always somebody who has like some philosophy, you know, like logic behind it. And then I said, well, they draw a pyramid, five levels. Okay, so what is this? Let me share. I thought it's a pretty interesting. First level, financial abundance. Can you pay your bills? Okay. Financial stability. Can you pay your bills? Essential bills. Step two is financial strategy. Are you saving up to somewhere that you want to go? So today I might not need it, but tomorrow maybe I need a house, a car or something. Okay, so saving for somewhere you need to go. And then financial security. You don't sweat over small stuff anymore. That's great, right? And then after that, financial freedom. And you can do what you want whenever you want. So I love that. And after that, financial abundance. Money is no longer an issue. So of course, the higher we go, the better it is. But a lot of people really just struggling first level only, like paying day-to-day bills and then hope to save for some long-term goals. So hopefully after that, you know, you'll be able to reach step three, step four, step five. And I start listening to these rich people talk. And I thought, you know, after a while, you know, money is not that important anymore. After you reach a certain level, and you know, different statistics saying, you know, after you have $70,000, depending on you too, okay, $70,000, $80,000, you know, any more is not going to bring you a lot of happiness. And then Bill Gates says something, I thought, wow, that really rings true. And he says, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, hamburger still tastes like a hamburger. I said, you're right. You know, if I have $1 million, $2 million, $10 million, I go to a McDonald's and buy that hamburger. It tastes the same. It doesn't matter. So I already got my basic happiness buying a hamburger from McDonald's. So, you know, it's really how you look at money. So after a certain like level, you should need to think about what makes you happy. Okay. So, you know, and then that's a little different for everybody. So that's a little sharing, you know, I have for you.
I absolutely love that because, you know, we are both certified financial planners. And so many times people ask, well, how much do I need? And it sounds silly. The answer is, I don't know, or it depends. So thanks so much for taking the time to share what financial wellness means to you. Why do you think financial wellness is important?
If you don't have the basic financial wellness, it causes a lot of trouble day to day. And I think a lot of marriage troubles, like people getting divorced, the number one reason behind it all is money. And then for medical, you know, services, like a lot of people go bankrupt is because of medical bills. It's all about money. So that's important that at least you have that basic necessity taken care of. Then you can start about talking about what you want to accomplish in life, how you want to help people. If you don't even get the basic stuff like bills taken care of, you are totally stressed. It's not good for your health too. So I think that is just the basic criteria, but I hope people will live better. And I, from what, you know, all these years that I have been doing finance or investment, I've never ceased to be amazed about compounding. Okay, that's, if there's anything you learned today here, and I want to share this, is you want to start saving early as you can, okay? And Einstein says the compounding is the eighth wonder of the universe. I absolutely agree with it. I don't want to brag about it. I'm a math major, but when I look at those numbers, okay, so this is what when I first saw it, okay, I just want to quote this example. One person starts saving at age 25 and save $10,000, okay, 10 years, stop, not saving anymore. Another person had a good life, okay, instead of start saving at 25, he started saving at 35. 10 years later, he saved for 30 years. Okay, $10,000 each year instead of 10 years, 30 years. So he put away $300,000. The other person put away $100,000, 10 times $10,000, $100,000. The other 30 times $10,000, $300,000. At the age of 65, who do you think got more money? We're assuming at 7% return. The person who only saved 10 years at $10,000, I only save $100,000 and then I start having good life because I'm done with my saving. I reach my goal earlier than the other person who start 10 years later and save consistently for 30 years. When I saw that number, I said, wow. So if I really like my nice stress, I'll wait 10 years. Does it make sense? I mean, this is all about compounding. You have to, when you look at it, it's really hard. I will share the spreadsheet. If you're interested, write to me and ask me. I'll share the spreadsheet. And when you see how the number grows, like from 1 year to another year, and after the 10 years, 10 times 100,000, even if you, I'm not talking about a 7% return, you have $100,000. How hard is it to save $100,000? Very hard, right? What is 10% return on $100,000? $10,000. How do you save $10,000? Extremely hard. So that's why the earlier you do it, the better it is. And if you understand the rule of 72, I don't know if you know the rule of 72, but let's say the return is 10%, you divide into 72. So every 7 years, the money double. Or let's just make it more simple. The 7% return, divide into 72. Every 10 years, you double your money. So let's say at 65, you saved $1 million. 10 more years, 1 million becomes what? 2 million. And 2 million becomes what? 4 million. The double really makes a huge difference. That's why when you push it back, instead of starting at 40, if I start at 30, I got $2 million instead of $1 million. And if I start at 20, I get $4 million instead of $1 million. Huge difference. When you see that number, you'd be totally motivated to start today. I'm not going to wait anymore because I want to stop at 40 instead of 60. Make sense?
Makes sense. I mean, Bonnie, you are brilliant. And as you know, this is compound interest working in your favor, whereas student loan interest, credit card debts, interest on credit card, interest on student loan, that's compound interest working against you, or compound growth working against you. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think another pearl of wisdom is, if you don't mind, elaborating on the rule of 72. So if somebody is very nervous about investing and they say, you know what, I don't want to invest. I just want my money to be safe. I'm going to keep it in this money market account and it's earning 2%. How long would it take them to double their money?
Well, 72 divided by 2, 30 something years. Not very good. Actually, I just like one or two days ago, I did like a market outlook or like something about like downside investment returns. Like, how do you manage volatility? Really, you need time diversification. If you put the money in for long enough, even if you invest in the worst day of the year, if you can hold it for 15 years, it's going to be positive. They look at 90 years of history. Pick any, they basically pick the worst year that you can, you know, to buy the money, to invest that whatever the amount. But if you manage to do time diversification, not sell it at the wrong time, then over the course of the years, your money will be positive. Just don't panic. And then, I mean, I can show you they're more than, and if you can't take a lot of risk, then don't go for 7%, maybe 6%, maybe 5%. And then what I like to show is that the spread, you know, the worst performance versus the best performance, the spread. And then how many days would it be? What's the percentage of chance of like being negative? You need to kind of look at the numbers. Once you see the numbers and how it works out in the history, then you feel much, much better. Even when the market, and I also did another analysis. That would be another time to share. COVID-19, okay? March, COVID-19. 12% one-time drop. The next day went up another 10%. If you look at those numbers, you go crazy every day. And then what happened at the end of the year? Oh, it went up 10, 15, 20%. So if you focus on day to day, people are just not very rational. Sometimes they just want to sell. And then the other thing I also looked at is for do-it-yourself type of investor versus market return. Who do you think do better? do-it-yourself investor, or you just put everything in the market. Do it in yourself investor, DIY investors, average return may be 2 to 4%. Market return is 7%. You are underperforming by 3%. Because, and then I show something else, like when 2002 and 2008, when the huge two bear market, what happened? You see huge, a lot of people selling. So a lot of cash in the market. And so what it means is like people are selling when the market's dropping, you're selling low. And then when the market is high, very little cash. So what happened? People chasing after the market. You buy when it's high, you sell when it's low. So of course you're going to be underperforming the market. But that, you know, that's another story, another day.
Exactly. But it's really important. So the one thing I could say, well, we learned so much, but the most important actionable advice is start as soon as you can.
You got it. Yes,
right?
You got
it. take advantage of the time value of money.
Yes.
And don't try to time the market.
Don't time.
It's okay to be nervous, but don't panic. So Bonnie, how can people find you, your books, your videos? What resources can you share with our listeners and viewers so people can find you?
Oh, well, you can go to my financial wellness website, financialft.com. And some of the videos are free. It's not the best right now. We still continue to improve. Or you can go to my website, or you can just write to me. I'll share with you free information. The books are all available on Amazon. So you can just type financial principles for financial wellness or financial FNQ, you know, it will pop. And then you'll be able to, you know, get the book that you want or preview it.
Do you have any parting words for our audience today?
I think you already covered very well, Margarita. Start now. Don't even think, you know, and hold on to it. Just as long as like you're not making like very, very aggressive decisions, like just buy what the, if you're young, just like, you know, buy S&P 500 or whatever, hold on to it. If you're a little bit older, you know, you're very close to retirement, you worry about, you know, because you need the money. So then go a little bit more conservative. I'll put more money into bonds. And then you really need some help, talk to Margarita, give her a call. You know what? You know what? A lot of it is like, that's the other thing, you know, start with a little money. Learning takes money too. Okay. So, you know, invest yourself so you learn from it, and start when you're young. So, you know, even if you lose some of the money, you can afford to lose it. And because it's a small amount, and maybe you can hold on to it, it comes back again. I think is that just keep learning, do it now. And then if you have a question, give somebody a call, start reading some books. It takes a little bit of time. Nobody taught me finance. You know, I went to business school, but nobody taught me personal finance. How did I learn? You just start where you are and then keep learning and doing what you think is right and learn from your mistakes. And one day you'll figure it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bonnie. I know that people are excited and focused to learn more about how they can become financially well.
Yes. I think that would be a very good goal. You know, like what you said, you know, after you've taken care of the basic finance, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Then you can strive for another level of happiness. Do what's really meaningful to you. If you worry about the day-to-day paying the bills, and you can't do a lot of things that you really want to do. What makes you happy? What makes your family happy? What makes the world a better place? You don't have the time to do any of that. But take care of your basic finance, then all those like wonderful things can start coming together and you'll have a good life.
So well said. Well, thank you so much. Back to you, Hope.
Thank you, ladies. Margaritas with Margarita is always so enlightening. Bonnie, you have shared so many pearls of wisdom. And what I love most about what you said is that it's just common sense, a little bit of self-control, and asking for help when you need it. So pensionmaxima.com is Bonnie's website. And if you Google Bonnie Yam, you will find all of her books. And of course, in the liner notes on Rita's shows on margaritacheng.com, margaritachengradio.com, and margarita.tv, margaritacheng.tv, you will find all of these videos and more. So thank you so much, ladies. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.